You're listening to Goons, Games, and Gear, the sexiest gaming podcast in the world.
So glad to be back that Goons, Games, and Gear is live, and we couldn't do this without you, so appreciate everyone who's here. You know, we're talking about some fun stuff today. Switch 2 news, actually, not rumors, not speculation, real concrete news.
Nintendo confirmed Reggie came back. He was like, guys, I'm here. Switch 2's coming. They also said
Switch 2's coming. Mother, you know, not 3 to get still too far never into happened.
It is a Switch 2. It's pretty exciting. Everybody was right. You guys, victory.
Dude, I'm just happy to finally get something tangible. You know, us Nintendo fans, we're like, please, sir.
Mr. Bowser, when will we have more?
It's been 9 years. Yeah, but you love your Switch. I mean, I do, but it runs like mud. Come on,
they have 4K now, Mr. Bowser. 4K.
Okay, Mr. Bowser. We're talking about Microsoft closing down studios, and just this is not Microsoft's year. It's probably going to be Microsoft's like worst year ever, or Xbox division. Yeah. George brought us to our attention that Square Enix is, I can't believe this, announces it tanked $140 million in losses due to content abandonment. Still no Goons, Games, and Gear DLC, which I'm sad about. You know, we were hoping for that in Final Fantasy, right?
You take those L's because of these decisions you make. And honestly, yeah.
We got some Starfield news because Starfield's back and people are actually respecting it. And this new update actually sounds pretty sweet, plus the Shattered Space DLC. And that's what we got for you guys today. So remember to hit that old like button. Watch us everywhere. The podcasts are Spotify, Apple, literally everywhere. I can't even name them all. Become a member of YouTube.
Rate us at those places, too. Yeah. That would be super helpful. We don't say that enough. Like, right. Leave us a rating.
Please.
Yes. At Apple Podcasts.
And Spotify. Apple,
Spotify. Right. Yeah.
Video is always on Spotify, not Apple, because why would they be? But let's get into it, shall we? Shall we, my friends? Can we get into it?
Okay. Let's jump into it, gamers.
Let's jump into gamers. Switch 2, Electric Boogaloo. It's finally happening. By 2025. Or they're going to announce it officially in its official capacity. What do you think, Derek? Are you excited for this?
So, like I alluded to, too, they, like, apparently they followed it up and specified in like an earnings call or something today that it is not another system. It is an upgrade is the best way to put it.
So that's fine.
That gives me super high hopes that my Switch games will work on it.
Well, I thought they confirmed. Actually, no, they didn't confirm it. I saw somewhere that like behind the scenes, it's absolutely going to be backwards compatible.
Oh, thank God.
Like 100%. I was going to open up that, but it's not going to work. So that's really like the most we can ask for. Although then this other one said that like it can possibly run up to 4K 30, which at that point just stop. Like, don't, you know, like I don't, you know what? 2K is fine. Honestly, like, or what about a Switch version that doesn't just make the game look like mud? That'd be pretty cool.
That would be, yeah. Just some nice hardware finally.
Right. You know, I just
get ahead of the game, Nintendo. Come on.
George, you have my old Switch. Would you get a Switch too? Electric Boogaloo?
Yeah, honestly, probably.
Mind you, he stole my Switch. He went to my house. He broke in. He stole.
Right, he beat him up. I saw the black eye. I have the pictures.
You saw the what guy?
Your black eye.
Oh. Okay. I heard something different. Okay. That actually got me. Sorry about that. Anyway.
Oh god!
I really do want to Switch. I just want this is all we ask for, right? Upgrade Switch, plays our old games. I'm hoping that let's do an Everybody Is Here trailer again, but it's just all these games that are just updated. You know, everyone's here.
If,
it's like
if they do like an announcement direct or whatever for this system, and then like Sakurai just walks out. Can you imagine I feel like joy will be felt around the world for the first time in a long time.
I mean, I would feel joy. I've wanted this. I've wanted this 5 years ago. We got like the only upgrade we got was through OLED, right? And even then, it was like
Better battery. Woo!
The screen on that is infinitely better. so much. It's like just a lot brighter and just makes a lot more sense. But, you know, there was no graphical upgrades, and that made me sad. Like, at least, like I want to play Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom in 60 frames. But like, let's get on that. Come on.
Yeah.
Also, better online. Some YouTuber made the defense that the UI for the Switch is so bad because they wanted to keep it as simple as possible because it's like you want it to be simple and portable. But I don't agree with that because it's just, it runs so poorly. like the dashboard and the online like ecosystem when you're in portable.
Right.
It just makes me sad.
Can I have a console that I don't have to change the battery out on after a year and not have to deal with a crappy repair program for joysticks that break down after about a year or so?
Did you fix them at your job?
I fixed them at my job and I fixed my own.
That's wow. Huh?
Yeah, I had Joy-Con drift and I had my battery going out and I did both of them and I batteries suck. I don't like them. You wouldn't think about it, but they adhese the batteries in there so like rhino tough adhesive basically to the actual device that you run a risk of damaging your screen if you don't do it right. I feel like
what could damage your screen?
Yanking on the battery to try and pry it off of there. Okay. I can heat the sucker, but
well, what if I wanted to replace the RAM, could I download it instead?
Oh, of course. CoolRAM.com.
And you know, me and Dan were doing like but should you buy for the NES Championship Edition before this? Spoilers, it's like a steal. And I bring that up because I hope for the Switch 2, please give us better online emulation. It is so terrible. It's so terrible on the Switch. Yeah. It's abysmal.
Too much of their money's going to their paramilitary death squadrons that are hunting down people trying to emulate their games. I mean,
not really though. I'm afraid to even mod. I would think about before George stole mine to like have that Switch be modded and like, you know, do fun stuff with it. But I was just like deathly afraid of them like finding out and threatening my family.
They'll do it.
It's a real threat.
Oh god. Ow. Sorry, I had to hit something. Anyway. Ow, I stabbed myself with my Winged Dragon of Raw thing. Am I bleeding?
They'll sue you, even if you look at them funny.
Oh yeah, I mean, what? They recently took down all the Yuzu, right? Was that it, Rob?
Dolphin, and took down Yuzu.
Well, I think isn't Dolphin still around, but just can't be on Steam, right? They're like,
that just can't be on Steam. It's still around.
Yeah. the only sad part about this is that they said that it's going to be the announcement is going to be by April 2025. So that doesn't mean we're getting it by April 2025. It's just going to be announced by April 2025.
And I assume we'll get it. Yeah. Holiday that year.
Yeah. The announcement should hopefully address some of the concerns and the wants of the people, us included, of like theoretically, hey, it's coming, here's some of what it will be able to do. Did you want to play in 4K? Here you go. Did you want 60 frames?
No,
but we'll give you 45 frames a second.
Seriously, I used to say, no, this next Switch has to be 4K.
Do you want 60 frames per second? No. Do you want a console that actually works? No.
Well, I got the console for you. Sold. You know, it's just, I used to be diehard on the whole, hey, we need it, like, the next Switch needs to be 4K. I'm backpedaling that so hard. I just want, like, it doesn't even have to be 2K. Just give me, like, it looks great on 1080p and runs at 60. That's all for every game. Honestly, I'm totally fine with that. I don't need like a 2K device. I want a Switch that runs right when it's in my hands. I don't want frame drops, and I want 2D Pokemon back. That's right, Pokemon petition. Okay, well, zero hype from you guys. Okay,
you don't want another another adventure after this next one.
I like Scarlet and Violet a lot, but I had so much more fun with Sword and Shield purely because of Dynamax Adventures.
Just give me Dynamax Adventures
right.
over and over again. I really enjoyed.
Man, you guys really vibed with that, huh?
Oh, yeah. it was a Shiny Hunter's Paradise.
It was fun.
It was fun.
So there's this game, and I'm not going to name it because in fear of Nintendo tracing it, right?
Right.
Everybody that here knows what game we're talking about. And that game literally just shows like what simplicity Nintendo with Pokemon Company could do to give us just like a fun game that everybody loves. Like, I don't need this big journey venture or whatever. Like, I just want this, like this. What like what
we adventure been with unskippable playing hand-holding tutorials at the beginning.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
It's definitely I've been having more fun with this Pokemon game that we've been playing, but more than honestly Scarlet and Violet. I've just been having a blast. Oh, absolutely. It's been crazy.
It's bad.
Scarlet and Violet had like the easiest shiny hunting available in terms of like acquiring
the sandwiches and stuff.
But they shiny lock like every legendary, which sucks, and Dynamax Adventure. It's like I'm just scared that they're gonna lock that down or like shut off the servers. So I kinda need us to get big enough so we can justify going back for the servers. So everyone, that's right. Please like, comment, subscribe, grow us so we can get those Dynamax Adventures back. Because I would love to get my disgusting shiny Groudon. Derek, every shiny that Derek gets in Legendary, it's like five or less tries. It for Kyurem for me took 247.
Groudon were in like almost 300, right?
For Groudon. I don't even want to talk about that. I don't even want to talk about how many tries I put into Kyogre by myself. You know how hard it is to go against a giant Kyogre that puts rain down and uses his water attack and just nukes everything, and you play with bots and other stupid people. It's just, that was like, that really was my white whale, only it's pink. Like, it's, Kyogre is my pink whale. But like, I hate playing with Derek because he gets everything in five tries. Like, we played like one round, Derek gets a shiny Flygon. Like, his
favorite Pokemon. I'm just like, oh, what's this? I log on, I'm just like, hey, I got a shiny.
And then when we
oh right my before, god, yeah. the craziest one was before we even went live, I had an egg it was a Lotad egg that like I don't even remember why I had it. I wasn't going for the shiny for Lotad. I just had a Lotad egg for some reason.
It was on accident. You it was like in the daycare and you're swapping it out. Yeah.
Yeah, and it literally hatched a shiny, like one egg luck. For no reason too. It just like, yeah. Oh my god.
So Derek has built-in shiny odds. It's
yeah, I don't know why.
It's crazy. God.
He punishes me in other things, but wishes me well in others.
Yeah, maybe the next Pokemon game it won't run like trash. But I don't know if that's. I still don't know. Does anyone know if it's because of Nintendo or because of Pokemon Company or both?
I think they blamed it on the system. I think that was the common consensus. But I don't trust Pokemon Company. So
I hope that we I saw like a mock-up for it. I would love like a DS style Switch that has the two screens. I love that.
Dude, I would love that.
I love
to fully portable.
That would make Mario Maker really fun again.
Mario Maker Smash again, fully portable like the 3DS.
It's poorly portable. I'm playing on the Switch, just to beat.
But fully portable.
You know? I saw there was like a very credible leak that, or with insiders, that the Joy-Cons are going to be magnetic instead of rails.
Oh, you were telling me about that. Yeah,
right. Rob, what would be the problem if it was magnetic? Actually, would you prefer magnetic controllers?
I guess I wouldn't really have a frame of reference. Like, what do you mean magnetic controller?
So, like, with the Turn Switch Joy-Cons, you slide them in and they're attached by a rail system. This right. one, there it'd be magnetic, so it just, like, clicks in because of magnets. My fear is that if you put any pressure up or down, it'll just, it'll just pop off.
Yeah, that's just asking for trouble. Can we do mechanical? Keep it mechanical. I'm okay with mechanical.
I don't know. I'd have to see it to believe it or see how well it works.
My only concern with like magnetic too is like, so like with the comfort grip, I feel like the Joy-Cons is like the perfect size for like adult hands.
Right.
If it was just like the Joy-Cons magnetic though together, I feel like it's like too scrunched. Like you'd be playing like this.
Yeah.
With like the palm of your hand touching.
Right.
Yeah. And without, even with like the wrist strap attachments or whatever that they have currently for the Joy-Cons, even that, like when we were playing the games in our, the last time Rob was around and we were all playing, my hand cramped up so bad from like, meh. Like the comfort grip is, I think, like Derek said, a really good blend of where it needs to be for like adult hands. Yeah.
No, the base Switch or Joy-Cons are actually uncomfortable if you're holding the Switch for more than like 10 minutes. They need to like groove out they have to make like the right grooves and stuff like that. I was just reading something here about apparently some Spanish company who report accurately about mind details in Switch OLED are saying that a larger Switch 2 will replace those rails with magnets.
So we can only hope that if they actually do go magnet, that they keep the comfort grip as is and that they don't magnet together and that they have something in the middle to allow for more spacing. Circling back real quick, I was looking up and it looks like for Scarlet and Violet, it's just badly optimized. So like there's a
pretty badly optimized considering there was a memory leak problem when it launched.
Yeah, but they went on further to explain that there were improper backface culling and loading and deloading entities constantly. So like the programmers just, for example, one of the other things is that the water around Paldea is always loaded in. So the water, even if you're not near it, the water is always loaded, and that's partially why no matter where you go.
That's super interesting. Huh.
Yeah. And the reason behind it is that because they wanted that co-op experience and to have like the players go wherever they wanted, they had to keep like, I guess, water assets constantly loaded in order to enable people to kind of go off, explore on their own and do their own things at the same time as like playing together or whatever. I don't know how factual that is, but that seems to be a lot of the top comments that there's a lot of assets and graphics that are always rendered in, while meanwhile all of the entities of like you leave the space for a little bit so all the Pokemon have to deload and then you go back and then they reload in and stuff like that. It's just too much for the Switch itself to handle, and then it's just too much on the back end where the programming just wasn't fleshed out.
So almost like a $1 billion entity couldn't optimize a game. But to their credit, or to their defense, optimizing for the Switch at this late in the game is kind of
right.
And for a game that tried to have as many 3D kind of a dog Pokemon water
idea,
I think to some degree their hand was forced. They're like, you have to get this out. We don't care if it's just if it's optimized or not. Like, it has to be playable, because at that point it was barely playable, and yeah, it got kind of like updated, but. They need to fix that.
Scarlet and Violet, I remember I was getting hyped for it. It looked cool. I bought it. I put maybe about 2.5 hours, 4 hours tops into it, and I've never gone back to it. It was not the Pokemon for me. I did not enjoy it at all.
I think the problem, too, was like, so, Pokemon Company is Nintendo, right? But, like, they are a separate entity, so I think like Nintendo like made Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom, and like those had like muddy parts to them, but then Pokemon Company was like, oh, we could do that, but they had no idea. It was like the first time Pokemon Company ever did anything like that, which like it isn't an excuse, but like it makes it a little more understandable, I feel like. Granted too, that game, like, if you just run around that base world, there's really no load zones. So like the whole game is like, I think we talked about it like a long, long time ago about how the loading in that game works and everything. But like the whole game is loaded for the most part, and it's always constantly loading like those instances of Pokemon and stuff.
Right.
So from a technical standpoint, I understand it. From a 25-year-old company standpoint, I don't understand it.
Right, but what I would argue against that is what they could have done was, hey, our game isn't really optimized that well. What if we added sector load zones? You know?
Right. Or just ask Nintendo, like, hey, can you send some guy to come help us, please.
Please. Like,
please, we're drowning.
It's just like the city itself was a load zone going in and out of it. And like, yeah, some of the houses. But realistically,
going to like Area Zero and stuff.
I think it was just too big a scope for the Switch. And they needed to have load zones so that way the water doesn't have to always be loaded, you know? And it's really not the end of the world if my friend is playing on the other side of the map. Really, if we're going to play co-op, I'd assume we're going to be kind of together. Love will keep us together. That's what my dad always
said. You would think, but you know, maybe some people just want to dive bomb different areas of the map and meet in the middle and see who caught what.
And also it took only two DLCs to be able to fully fly at all times, by the way. I just want to keep that in mind. So like, I still blame both. I think Nintendo has the resources to say, hey, we can give you as much manpower as you need. And like, even if they like, but every Pokemon game is going to turn a profit. I think I just saw Pokemon. They just released the numbers that Violet and Scarlet has sold 21 million so far.
Yeah. Pokemon. I think they released the Switch number today too. It's something ridiculous. It's like 140 million for Switch the system.
Oh, really? Let's see. Red and Blue / Green are at 31 million. This is December 2023. Thorn Shield, 26 million. Scarlet Violet, 24 million. Gold, Silver, 23 million.
That's still pretty good, considering how much everybody, like, poopied on Scarlet and Violet. I can't believe
Legend Arceus is at 14, which I would argue is a better game at this point.
Absolutely.
So, you know, they have load zones.
Yeah, but you know what? I feel like, too, Arceus, like, it didn't capture as many fans of, like, the traditional Pokemon game, right? Like, a lot of people didn't want to have to craft or do any of that stuff. They wanted just a traditional Pokemon, and they got Legends Arceus, which, again, is a lot of fun. Arguably better than Scarlet and Violet. I enjoyed playing it way more, but... You know, you look at the rest of the ones that are above it, even Let's Go beat out Legends Arceus, and the only ones that didn't are Diamond and Pearl, Yellow, because Omega Ruby, Alpha Sapphire, Heart Gold, Soul Silver, Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon. I don't know. I don't disagree that the ones that are below Arceus should not be below Arceus. I 100% agree with that, but I don't think I don't think Let's Go, but I guess that was for more of the kids, right? And like, Arceus is not necessarily kid oriented. Like,
what have you seen?
I don't think it is,
dude.
Just like the amount of reading that you have to do in Arceus versus like
boohoo. I'm 3D Squirrel.
Learn to read.
Idiot.
It is so ironic that you're telling people to learn to read when you guys won't do that either.
I choose not to. That's a different.
No, you're exempt from this, George. I know that you read. I'm talking about these two.
Rob, who hurt you today?
Nobody hurt me, but I just think it's really ironic that you would say that, knowing full well that you guys do not read what's presented to you on a screen.
Cite your sources. Anyway, back to just the Switch 2. Again,
last week.
I really hope that like the Switch 2, during the announcement, they optimize a bunch of games. Like Scarlet and Violet gets an update to make it run better.
Yeah, I didn't even think of that. These next gen updates these games should get. Right. And
I've theorized the idea that everyone is here. Da-na-na-na, and it's like, you know, Scarlet and Violet, 60 frames. Doesn't run like crap anymore. Ba-na-na-na.
Smash and specs. And then we just, did it.
And just like Smash Ultimate stays the same. Ba-na-na-na.
Like, no, you were so close to 10.
Or like better online. It's like, okay, we take that. Ba-ba-da-da.
Better netcode would definitely help out a lot for the next version of the Switch.
Let's see here. What's another Switch game that just like pisses me off? Breath of the Wild, Twilight Princess, I wish.
Mario Maker 3 is a launch title.
Oh, my God.
That's what I want.
Dude, and
we're bringing back the classic eShop. We're doing it.
Virtual
download your retro games. Na-na-na-na.
And that's when Nintendo became a $1 trillion company, when they finally brought back
Virtual Console. Over the world. Jeff Bezos cried.
The end. That's a beautiful story, guys. Right. Anyway, yeah, Switch 2. I do feel like this is going to be way too long of a wait, though, still, by just announcing by 20. Really, so like you said, holiday 2025. So we got basically 2 years more, like, or a year and a half, right?
Right.
Which kind of sucks. But
I'm really curious what they're announcing in June at the Direct. Like, oh, what? See, like, now that they've announced this, right, everybody's in that mindset now of, like, I got to buy a new system next year.
Derek,
but they could announce a banger game at the end of this year, right? That, like, literally,
Mario Soccer 2,
literally blows people away. Like,
I already have the list. It was already leaked. First, it's going to be Fallout 4. Then it's Starfield. Then it's Starfield. Okay.
You're right.
Then Elder Scrolls Online. They never saw it coming. Oddly, God of War Ragnarok. No one sees it coming, but I know. It's crazy.
Nuts.
Puyo Puyo Universe, a new game. Let's see here.
Puyo Puyo Universe.
Switch 2 exclusive Puyo Puyo Universe. Dead Rising 5 exclusive to the Switch.
They bought the company from Microsoft. Yeah.
Tetris 99 is making a comeback.
Tetris 100.
Shower with Your Dad Simulator 2025. I'm Your Daddy Edition. Let's see. There was Tenkaichi Sparking Zero. That's coming to the Switch.
Switch exclusive. They announced. Oh my.
And then they're gonna top it all off with Halo Infinite. No one's gonna see it coming. And it's like, right.
Damn. You know what, Nintendo? I don't know why I ever doubt you, really.
So yeah, that's still going to be a Switch 2 lineup, but now that we're all talking about the Switch 2, I would argue, or not even argue, I would say I think the next Mario game is going to be a launch title. Since they learned that Breath of the Wild as a launch title was, like, unbelievably great, they're going to have one slamming game.
And I'm going to say...
Well, we just got Mario Wonder, right? So
yeah, that'd be 3D. A
3D Mario
game.
So, or... it's something huge. Maybe the new Pokemon.
1 second. I just want to clarify. Awesome YouTuber watcher 2x4 donated $5. Top Pokemon Smash. I'm trying to understand. Are you saying what Pokemon will be Smash, or are you trying to say what Pokemon should be in Smash? Two very distinct but different.
Gardevoir, because like Gardevoir.
Lopunny. Stunfisk.
Like actual Lucario, like in Smash. Like
Stunfisk.
Like, you gotta use your words. Give us a little bit more
content. Description.
Malamar, you know, that's on my list. Octillery.
Smoochum.
Pokemon would you smash? Okay, well, I think we're legally obligated to answer this.
Well, Gardevoir is there.
Malamar being a contrarian work, would it just, like, kind of, like, you go and then it just, you like, have pull to it be back into your down. Body?
You have to be upside down.
No, to make the Inkay evolve, you're 69ing, so it's upside down. So then,
can't move the bus, and it starts to glow.
You evolved from being in a 69 position. Oh my god! It's inking on me. No. Anyway, I mean, I could just say Lopunny. That'd be pretty easy, right?
Yeah, that's good.
Actually, I think I'm gonna go with Steelix. Drop. I think Steelix would be like a good cuddle.
He's a gentle lover.
Yeah, Steelix is a confirmed gentle lover, you know? He's always the big spoon, but when he wraps around you, it's just right. Thanks, Steelix. Rob, what's your Pokemon Smash? You have to do this. He donated $5. Okay, well...
Side note, while Rob's thinking, I watched the Herogasm episode of The Boys last night, because I've been watching that.
Oh, I haven't seen a new season,
three.
Oh, okay, okay. Oh,
it was one with like the B-list heroes. And like my partner was like, "You're gonna love this episode." I was dying the whole time. It was so funny. Reminded me of it.
All right, Rob. Now you have to say it.
Beedrill.
Damn. Interesting. Interesting. Mega Beedrill or base.
Yeah, how many spikes do you want? Either
or. Rob's really into pinch play, you know.
Ow, that stinks.
George, what's yours? What did you say yours was? Was it Delkitty?
What?
Del Giddy? Is that the evolved form of Skitty?
Del Caddy, maybe?
Del Caddy. I didn't say anything yet, but...
Well, I was...
Hoping. Garbage streamer showing his complete and total lack of ability to remember names.
Robble Bobble would go with Ditto, the OG choice. You mean the slut Pokemon? That's too easy.
Ditto kind of works.
Hey, it works, but you can't pick it now that he said it. George, you say one. Are you looking up a list of Pokemon, man, or something? Totally separate question. Who's your favorite Pokemon?
Scyther.
Okay, it's Scyther. Congratulations. Yeah, there you go. It's Scyther. Congratulations, yours is now Scyther. So, you are smashing Scyther, and that's just how it's going to be.
I mean, I could go with Lopunny as well, because, I mean... Let's face it. Or you can always cheat and say Vaporeon.
Second choice, Mr. Rhyme. Hello?
Mr. Rhyme.
Mine's Heatmore. That whole, like, anteater fire bug.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we didn't even think of, like, Licky Licky at the time. Damn.
No, but he wears a total power top. That's the issue.
Keep an eye out, Tube, for a tier list of... breedable Pokemon.
Why? Just go back and listen to previous Goons Games and Gear
episodes. Did we touch on this topic
so many times?
I know, we really do.
Do we just have a podcast on bangable Pokemon?
Honestly, Goons Bang
Pokemon GBP.
New tier list.
Oh yeah, God, those are fun. We did them. Anyway, that question and ridiculous answers and awkward answers were brought to you by 2x4, who donated $5. Thank you very much for that. I really appreciate it. Okay. So, on to other news. Here we go. Microsoft. Okay. 2024 is going to be the worst year ever, I'm calling it. Microsoft closes Redfall developer Arkane Austin, Hi-Fi Rush developer Tango Gameworks, and more in devastating cuts at Bethesda. It's like... First of all, no one saw this coming. Even the studios were literally blindsided. They're like, what? excuse me? Like, so for example, and I've never heard of this happen before. And Derek, you might have, I don't know if this ever happened. Because they shut down the studio, they're setting up like a credit website for anyone who bought the Redfall Bite Back Edition. So that way they don't have to like finish the DLC. I thought they were legally obligated to. I didn't know they could like just say, hey, never mind.
I guess because the actual studio is shutting down, there might be like a fail safe of like, hey, we're just going to refund everybody because nobody's here anymore to support this game. So,
right. It's just like, it's just crazy. And apparently the reason they want to focus on like, what was it? It wasn't high priority. Oh, high impact games, which my like tin hat theory is that they saw how insane Fallout did show wise. Saw how everyone wants a new Fallout game. They said, hey, we need to get Fallout out sooner. So what if we just kill these companies that are providing lower games and use that money / like managing resource and put it into, you know, the next Skyrim, the next Fallout? That's where I'm going with that. Discuss.
Yeah, but at the same time, right? Like, that's not really going to make it so that the game comes out faster. It just means that they're going to dump more resources into it.
Yeah, but resources mean manpower. Manpower means faster, theoretically. Like, if they say, oh, we're going to have the game out by 2030, but then they hire 100 more people to put on this project, then I would imagine it's going to come out sooner. I would put money down that it's going to come down sooner because this is happening. They're like, okay, now that you don't have to worry about managing these studios, just, like, put... What do you need to make Fallout 5? You know, like, what right. do you need to make this work?
And this was definitely like a Microsoft decision, not a Bethesda decision. Like, they're like, need these games now. Because, and like, it is very sad that they are shutting all these studios down. But Tango Games in particular literally releases nothing but banger games. It, like, Evil Within, Hi-Fi Rush was literally like one of the top games last year. It makes no sense. Like, Arkane Austin, okay, like, Redfall was, like, definitely a severe flop, And they knew that going out. Like, when before they released the game, they were like, this game's going to flop. Like, there was no marketing for it. The game just kind of came out, and that was it. Nobody played it. Everything was terrible. I don't know. This is literally Xbox being like, hey, Bethesda, shut up. Make Elder Scrolls and Fallout, and right. That's all you're doing from now on. No more of this, like, side nonsense, which really has me concerned for games like Prey. Like,
oh, never gonna happen.
Id Software will survive on Doom, but like, they're not doing anything else. I have a feeling the micromanaging for Bethesda is like so high right now from Microsoft, like micromanaging them, that like Phil Spencer goes in there with like a whip and is like, he's like, how's Elder Scrolls 6? What year are we looking at? And they're like, 2028? And he's like,
no, 2026. He's like,
let's make that 2026.
I'm actually,
it's bad. It's scary. Like, I really don't think you'll ever see another Dishonored game. And that's sad.
It is very
like,
sad.
Arcane makes Dishonored. And I don't think you're going to see that again. Evil Within never coming out again is like really sad because who is it, George? The original writer of Resident Evil worked on those games?
Yeah, Shinji Mikami.
Yeah. Like, that was his passion project. And honestly, Evil Within series was kind of better than, like, the last three or four Resident Evil games we've gotten. Sorry, Capcom. But, like, it baffles me. It is a scary time for Bethesda right now. And, like Fallout fans and Elder Scrolls fans rejoice because you're getting your paydays for these things, but like all these other side projects that these Bethesda studios make and that are like really good games, I don't know, it's a scary future for them. That's it. That's my TED talk.
That was beautiful.
Beautiful, man.
Like, wow. the hero.
Here's another question, though, right? Because Arcane itself, the studio, uh-huh. is not fully being shut down. Just the Austin studio is being shut down.
No.
Well,
no.
But Derek's still there. Yeah, but Derek's point was that it's now. Yeah, well, now we're worried that these games aren't going to happen because they're just going to,
Yeah. And it's only a matter of time then, right? Because like, if they're shutting down like Austin and whatever, like, yeah, they say that. The Lyon one will continue to focus, but for how long? Until they go, Bethesda needs more money. Hurry up, here you go. This is on top of every other layoff and, like, closing that we've had. 2024 absolutely sucks for gaming so far.
Oh, yeah.
What? Sucks for gaming? Next Championship Edition comes out next month?
Paper Mario this
Paper
month?
Paper Mario?
Luigi's Mansion 2 in July. Sorry.
You're right. 2024 is great for Nintendo because every other gaming company is screwing it up.
Nintendo has won this year.
Absolutely.
It's going to be hard because Elden Ring DLC comes out in June, and like that's going to be a banger. So.
So I was actually hoping to play Redfall when it was more updated. And I thought it'd be a fun, dumb experience for all four of us, like, because it's four-player co-op. Right. They were working on an offline mode, and apparently, again, it just all got cut short.
Yep.
And mind you, this goes back on what Phil Spencer said, like, months ago. He's like, hey, we know it wasn't well-received, but hey, we're going to work on this and make it, what we believe will be a great experience. okay, as he flushes the toilet on our dreams. Granted, I don't think maybe they saw, like, behind the scenes server-wise, like, literally no one is playing this. There's no, putting our resources here actually doesn't make any sense. This is actually, hold on a second. So 2x4 from the comments who donated earlier, which I really appreciate. He was just talking about how Fallout 2 is getting a full remake in Fallout 4's engine. I just want to make sure this isn't,
I'm pretty sure that was a fan project.
Oh, is it a fan project? Oh, okay. I thought, I was thinking it was official. Oh, my bad. But that'd be really cool, though. Sorry. If it was official, then it falls under Bethesda, and I thought it'd be interesting. Which, I mean, I was totally down for a remaster for 1 and 2. I don't know why they don't port it to console, but whatever.
Apparently, 2's amazing. Like, I've never played one or two, but apparently two is like. You played them, Rob? Rob gave a seal of approval.
For the audio listeners.
I kind of zoned out for a second there, but no, it's. If you go into Fallout 1 and 2, and by extension Tactics, we don't talk about Brotherhood of Steel, but if you go into those three expecting what you've already gotten with 3, 4, and New Vegas, you're not going to have a good time. You need to expect that it's going to be a more, let's say, seeing as I don't know what people will say about an isometric top-down RPG, expect it to be more tabletop-like.
Yeah, that's what I saw, but that's what makes it look interesting. I don't know.
Yeah,
that's what like I want.
Yeah, to the mechanics are apparently really cool.
Don't let the temple intimidate you. It's just a couple of doors. Just figure it out. Look around. Look up an instruction manual. It's what we had to do back in the day. Read.
Learn to read.
Two people in this call of ours don't know how to, so I'm
Rob, why would you out yourself like that? That's crazy.
Why would you out yourself like that? You know what I meant. You know who you are. Because it's not me and it's not George.
Oh my god, Derek.
Oh my god.
Anyway.
Guy who doesn't have his camera on right now.
The guy controlling the camera, which is me.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's my hamster. Dude, you don't know how to read. Get out of here.
You realize that I'm about a little under 2 months away from being able to slug you in the chest.
That's why I'm working out. Right. Anyway.
I'm building. Yeah.
Don't worry, I'll be ready for
you. Let's see. So Matt Booty, the head of Xbox Game Studios, I think it's a funny last name. You know,
that's a good name.
Yeah, good name. He, like, I'm not gonna read this entire thing, but he does say to double down these franchises and invest to build new ones requires a look across the business to identify the opportunities that are best positioned for success. This reprioritization of titles and resources means a few teams will be realigned, others will have our colors be leaving us. It's like, yeah, but wasn't what's like, what was the game, Derek?
Hold on, I'm looking up Tango Games' games because I know. I'm like listening to his blasphemy as this guy spits it out. But Evil Within was a success, both of them. Hi-Fi Rush was like a critical success. Ghostwire Tokyo, okay, I like not for everybody. I'll give you that one. You know, you could have that one. I mean, that's pretty much been it for Tokyo Tango Games, but like they were a part of ZeniMax for like ever before they branched off. So like they've been with Bethesda forever.
By the way, because of Alpha Dog Studios, Mighty Doom, that mobile game is turning off. So, any microtransactions to that?
What? I didn't like that game, Rob. I don't think you liked it either, right? You tried it out?
What?
The Mighty Doom mobile game? It was like the chibi Doom game.
Oh, yeah, the one that had some predatory microtransactions. Yeah.
Yeah. But apparently, like, people did like it. And, like, people were playing it and, like, obviously buying into, like, the microtransactions and stuff. But, like, it's terrible that, like, that community is now dead.
I played it a bunch when it came out.
Really?
It was, like, stupid fun.
Yeah, like, those are the types of mobile games that I do enjoy playing. There are, like, the ones like that. I played a couple other ones similar to that, like Snaker and whatnot. Like, I don't know. Those are just the mobile games, aside from the stupid idle ones that just absorb my time because I could just sit there and go.
I genuinely don't understand idle games. I don't understand the appeal. But see, this is also this part. I now read this further. I actually don't understand it because he then says with this consolidation of our Bethesda studio teams, so that we can invest more deeply in our portfolio of games and new IP. It's well never, but like
yeah, okay, new we, IP, new of IP. What?
Well, yeah, it's like wasn't
Hi-Fi Rush was a brand new IP. Yeah. Screw you guys. Just say it. Just say you want Elder Scrolls and Fallout more often. So you're just going to double down on that garbage. Like, come on.
Garbage?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
Let's be real for a second. 76 is a turnaround. They completely 180'd that game.
They fixed it. Yeah.
Tell them, Rob.
I mean, they definitely brought it around. That's for sure. But, you know, I feel like maybe if you would focus more on the people making your game and maybe not allowing crunch conditions to happen and then doing layoffs when higher up corporate executives lose touch with reality, That'd be pretty cool. I like a quality game. I'd like a game that's not on the same friggin' engine that it's been on.
Oh yeah,
for the past 20 years.
Yeah.
Well, probably not 20, but
you know maybe. What I mean.
It's been at least since Morrowind, and that was the original Xbox. So
when did Morrowind come out?
Fact check.
Derek, the fact checker. It just annoys me.
2002. Yeah, 22 years.
Oh yeah, 20 years then.
Couldn't these studios just work on a new IP? Couldn't you just then said, "Hey,
they did that with Starfield, and we got rehashed Fallout 4."
But that was the point of these like small studios, right? Like, so it used to be just Bethesda, and then Bethesda made Arcane, id, Tango Games to make these smaller games while they focused on Fallout and Elder Scrolls. So like, what's the like deal? Like, I don't get it.
Oh, I get it. I get it. All right, they just want to put money into Skyrim 2, Electric Boogaloo, and Fallout 5, because they know they'll be system sellers.
That's actually it.
Yeah. I think, honestly, they might be like, dude, we need one of these games as a launch title. Like, we need a working launch title this time around, you know? Halo Infinite didn't happen, right?
What? Right. I think that's the problem, is Microsoft's actually, like, burning at the stake right now. Because, like, Halo Infinite was, like, a flop. Like, the multiplayer is still... I think it like came back a little bit, but it's not like as big as it used to be. And like Xbox hasn't really released a game in like forever, right?
What are you talking about?
Right, exactly. And then they bought all these other studios. They're buying Activision. That's a big, big, big investment for them. And then not only for them to buy it, because I'm sure their intentions were, we buy this, we make Call of Duty exclusive, but then literally the government was like, no, you can't do that. Stop. I don't know. Maybe they're just hemorrhaging money at this point. They own Activision. They're going to make Call of Duty bucks, but like, it's not going to be enough to like support them.
You know what else is like shocking to me is that higher up in the article, it said that id is still well and good, that they're not shutting down id, who develops Doom. However, as previously mentioned, most of the veterans from Doom have already left and have started up another company called Empty Vessel. So like, even if we get another
That's a banger studio name.
Even if we get like another Doom or something, like maybe we won't because id isn't being shut down, but we'll get games similar to it, and it's got a bunch of banger developers and people who are in the business that have moved over to this new indie company. So like, why shut down Tango or Arcane Austin, where, you know, like Derek was saying, Tango specifically, most of their games have been nothing but bangers and new IPs and like great content, and shut down id because you just lost half of your like your key influential members for Doom. So like, what are you banking on with that one?
Right.
This is the world we live in now. Mm-hmm. And by the way, they just launched Hi-Fi Rush on PS5. Like, what was it, a month or two ago?
On PS5, it came out like last month.
Yeah, exactly. I wonder if maybe it didn't do well on like the PS5.
I actually think people bought it though. Like, the PlayStation guys all bought it, I'm sure, or tried it out or whatever.
We couldn't be happier with the team at Tango Gameworks delivered with this surprise release. Oh, but by the way, later.
Bye.
Peace.
Bye now.
Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Bye. Have a beautiful time.
Honestly, in the wake of all this,
I know it's... Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
You're good. I appreciate it.
But honestly, in the wake of this, and I know it's something we haven't talked about, but some of these consultation companies that work on, like, inclusivity and whatnot, I'm gonna be honest, guys, just the way the market's looking nowadays, I can't wait for the video game crash to happen.
Is there...
I think it's happening though. That's a, like, I think
we're in it. Maybe it'll actually get normies out of my hobby again.
I think we're in it right now. Like maybe, Sony maybe and Microsoft maybe are doing nothing.
Let you guys, you know, screw off so I can enjoy my video games in peace.
Back to your gaming.
Like,
by the way, to answer your question real quick about Hi-Fi Rush and PS5, I just found an article about it and I put it into the channel just so you can review it if you need to. But apparently it is doing incredibly well already.
It's just like, this makes me sad. And also I feel bad for these people. Like, it's one thing to get noticed, like, hey, your studio's going to close down. This was like overnight. Like, hey, you have no job anymore, by the way.
Yeah, I think that's the worst part of it, honestly. In the middle of all this, so it's literally, I know I've seen a couple of articles floating around today and people posting on Twitter. I know it's X. You're not going to tell me different. you really aren't safe anymore, like from any aspect of anything. It doesn't matter if your studio made a great breakout game like Hi-Fi Rush was. Doesn't matter if you make a good game, because some higher up corporate executive in a suit can say, sorry, you all no longer have jobs,
which is ridiculous. That's insane.
I realize that this is also that we also have listeners that are only listening to the podcast. So just imagine me flipping a large middle finger.
It's just, yeah, like that's super scary for anyone in any position, especially for like everyone around you to also lose their jobs. Yeah. And in this case, it's like, if you can't feel protected under a behemoth company like Microsoft, then where can you actually feel safe in this community or in this
Microsoft, like, who is, valued at $3 trillion? If you cannot feel safe at a $3 trillion company,
right,
where else can you feel safe at?
People are
but I really feel like we all know that Microsoft, it feels like people are just victims of Microsoft being too big to fail, and then when things go south, people get ejected from the company, and it's like, how can you feel safe now?
People are starting to say that they want Phil Spencer to like remove himself. Like they're gotten to the point where like, Phil Spencer, you're like failing as a leader. We need a new leader in Xbox. I don't know if this comes from him, or I assume it's higher ups, because he's just the Xbox division head, not the Microsoft division. And from what I'm reading, it's Microsoft closing the studios. You know, and only so much he can say, hey, I'm not going to let you close the studio down. But
Microsoft says goes.
Right. Overall, he just like,
right.
He gives his input and like his vast gaming knowledge. Like, this is how we're going to fix things. And I guess nothing's really turned around for Microsoft or Xbox. Like, I mean, Game Pass is probably the best thing they've done. And they also turned a great profit after buying Activision with Call of Duty sales. And they even said, like, oh, we're like one of the biggest publishers now because of it. So, from a business standpoint, yes, they're probably like... I had a
feeling that some shifty nonsense... Sorry, I did it again.
No, please continue. It's a Rob show now.
I mean, they give me the biggest publisher they want.
No! But,
he's gone.
No!
They give me the biggest publisher they want.
No, it's cool.
If there's no games coming out, like... I don't know. It's just like it doesn't add up. Like, even like, we haven't gotten a Call of Duty in what, 2 years? When did Modern Warfare 3 come out? No, it wasn't last year. It was the year before, wasn't it?
No, that was November.
In fact, 2023? Was it really?
November 2022 was Modern Warfare 2. November 3 was 2023, which everyone figured out, and there's no official announcement about it, but it's really just a fork of 2. It was really just going to be a massive DLC drop, but they said,
maybe that's what I was thinking.
Right.
Yeah.
This year apparently is going to be Black Ops 5 or something, or Cold War, Gulf War, or something.
It's some sort of, it's Black Ops insert title here.
Right. Exactly. So,
but I don't know. It's just like, could that much money really be coming in from these other guys? Bethesda really hasn't released a game since Starfield. And like, I don't understand Game Pass's profit margin, right? Like, if I have Game Pass and I play Starfield, it doesn't count as a sale for Starfield, right? Like,
Yeah, I don't know how they...
Starfield technically sold terribly, but everybody played Starfield, right?
I think how they count it is, like, because you need online to use Game Pass, I think there's some, like, counter, or not even counter, just something that says, that tells Microsoft, hey, this person's playing Starfield on Game Pass, therefore, they not counting as a sale, but as a player. So, like...
Right, so they have a player number, but not a sales number for it?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
That's how you're right.
And then in that aspect, I would say Starfield technically sold terribly because of that. But I don't really know the sales number, because I actually really think, well, like, when it first came out, I think Steam sales did well. Right. But when it first came out, I remember we had issues finding the actual sales numbers of Starfield for Xbox, because they just kept giving us, like, a player count number.
Right.
So there's definitely got to be a difference between, like, a sale number and a player number, right? Like, I could have Game Pass but never touch Starfield. Like, sure. That doesn't count towards it at all.
Yeah, but the second you play it once, I think they clock that. Because that's how they justify it that way? Yeah, that's why some games will stop, you know, putting on Game Pass, because the amount they pay, like, the developer versus how many people are actually playing on Game Pass, it doesn't equal, like, enough. Microsoft must have, or Xbox must have, a line. It's like, okay, there has to be this many players each month to justify us paying this much to the developer.
Right.
But because they own Bethesda, they don't have to worry about how much. Well, they obviously worry how many people are playing it, but they don't have to worry how much it's selling. You know, because, you know, there can't be a lot that's, well, at least on the Game Pass side, they can't be looking up, hey, like, people, like, no one's going to buy Starfield on Game Pass, like, while they have it, right?
You know, even if it is discounted. But, like, I feel like they still have to, like, sell the game at, for some extent, at least, because then they also still have to, like, it doesn't make sense to me from a business standpoint, right? Like, they're paying all these guys to make this product, and then they're, like, free product for our Game Pass guys, and then, like, I don't know, it doesn't make sense to me.
Doesn't make sense anymore.
It's stupid.
Derek, this is why you're not in the suit and they are. Okay, you're not smart enough. Not smart enough.
Right. Phil took my wife.
Yeah, Derek actually has a deep vendetta against Microsoft, because Phil actually
I 1v1'd him on Gulch in Halo 2. And that's how it ended.
It was a money match, and that's how I became bankrupt. Phil, you bastard. So I'm losing more and more faith in Xbox, even though I do like Game Pass a lot. Realistically, though, if you have a monster PC, you could just get PC Game Pass. It is still nice to have Xbox Game Pass on the Series X. Like it's still a great value for what it is. It just hurts that they're, like, making all these problems, and like, they're losing trust heavily with people, with the player base. Anyway, right. So that's where I want to end that. All right, more terrible news, I guess. Square Enix announces it tanked 140
million
in losses due to content abandonment, though there's no clue as to what's been dropped. Anyway, this comes by George, aka Edgy Two Swords, aka Only Guy Better Beard Than I. I thought this was really interesting. I just can't believe that they reckon. So is this here? They recognized that approximately 22 billion or 140 million in content abandonment on its books for the fiscal year. So, like, what does that mean exactly? They worked on DLC and dropped it, or they worked on games and dropped it. But, like, that's a lot of money to lose on abandonment, I'd imagine, right?
It definitely is. Yeah.
I don't want to know what they abandoned. I know, don't they just make, like, what did they make? Final Fantasy? Did they make, like, a Dragon?
Dragon Quest.
Dragon Quest. Rob, what are some other Square Enix games, you know? I don't know. I just feel like you know.
Square Kingdom Enix. Hearts.
Or, am I allowed to talk this time?
You are, sir. You are.
Wow. Square Enix. I mean, yeah, it's pretty much Final Fantasy, Dragon Quest, I feel like Like a Dragon is, like, Sega now, though.
Yeah,
they're the publisher for that. As far as other stuff, God, what has Squeenix done lately?
Squeenix? I never heard that, but I love it.
Squeenix. That's an old one. I honestly don't, like, I don't feel like it's been, like, maybe some Dragon Quest, but, like, it feels like Final Fantasy has been pretty much their focus. I honestly do not remember what they've come out with.
Nier, but they haven't done anything with that since they did the,
One and Done?
What, Nier?
Yeah.
It was, but it's another big one that they did. But a lot of it is like Final Fantasy, Octopath Traveler. Final Fantasy is the majority at this point. Dragon Quest, which just released another game. It's just so like content abandonment. So yeah, either they had DLCs planned or they started games and then completely scrapped them in terms of something else. It's a joke, I guess, in the article where they were talking about like Kiryu, which is the new CEO, will finally drop his bizarre fascination with AI and, dare I hope, NFTs. So like, I guess a lot of assets have been put in, like money and stuff have been put into games to make them look better and everything, and then they scrap that, and then they go, because I feel like that's the type of development team that Square is, right? They'll start working on something, and then if they don't like it, they completely scrap it and then start over. And I can imagine that that's what happened, is that they've probably invested so much money into upcoming games, like trying to make sure Final Fantasy VII Rebirth was like perfect for the like what they saw for it, and then they scrapped it a few times, and then they pushed it back, and then they did this and did that, and but there's no actual note of like where they like lost the money, like what did they develop into that is just gone. But 140 million is a lot.
Right, yeah, exactly. That's what makes me curious. I feel like that was either like a few different games that were like halfway through and they're like, yeah, JK, never mind. But I don't know, it just seems so weird. Also, I didn't know this guy had a fascination with AI and NFT. The NFT thing, like, dude, is a dead duck. Like, just don't, like, leave it in the past. NFTs are actually stupid, and if you invest in one, I argue, dare say, you're stupid. AI, I think that is just, unfortunately, the natural future. I think we're going to see I think during this, like, video game downfall, we're going to see AI taking over and, like, taking jobs over. Like, oh, we don't need a, like, why do we need a team? We can just have AI remaster a high-definition game. I 100% that's what
AI happen. Will get you 80% of the way there, and you still have to do the work.
Yeah, 80%. So like you could still, but that's much better than 100%. You know.
I mean, sure, it can. It definitely helps out with coding projects and the like, especially since it's helped me build a Excel sheet. I don't really see a problem with it. I guess it's kind of a bit of a hot take on my end, but I don't know. It's weird. It's like this new gray area, and I don't know how to feel about it, because on the one hand, yeah, it's getting more and more useful by the day, but on the other...
We talked about it a while ago. I don't remember if you guys were there for it, but Ubisoft has an AI called literally Ghostwriter, and it's for writing conversations for their games, and it's just so stupid.
It's so terrible. Oh my god.
You know, I really love that burger. You know, like okay. Like,
God, I hope I don't get assassinated in this Assassin's Creed game.
They said they were using it for like background conversation, nothing like for primary, you know, like actual stuff you care about. But I don't trust it. I'm sorry, you were saying, George?
Oh yeah, no, I was saying like it's actually probably a really good indicator of where they lost it. It's right on the screen now. And a continuation of their promise to review developmental processes from scratch. So they're scrapping all of these projects and stuff to begin again in hopes of like development of like better HD games and where the money in like, I guess, focus of new like content is going. So they essentially are like, yeah, let's make this game. Final Fantasy, let's go. Nah, scrap it, start over, do it again. It doesn't look good enough. Make it look better. better.
No! Do it! Yeah, I mean, I think out of all of us, I've never played Square Enix games. I've never played Final Fantasy. I've never played Dragon's Quest. Or what do you call it, Wob? Squeenix?
Yeah, Squeenix.
Squeenix, that's what you call it?
You never heard that?
I've never heard it. Not that's even once.
That's a term that's been around for years, man. Where have you been?
Yeah, we gotta shorten everything, so you can't say Square Enix. You gotta just merge it together.
Huh. Derek, how do you feel about this loss? Are you worried for your Final Fantasy games?
No. So they also make Kingdom Hearts as well.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah, Square Enix is Kingdom Hearts. Okay. So you know where all Square Enix money goes? And it is scrapped projects that never see the light of day. It's these terrible mobile games they release.
Yes.
Did you know Final Fantasy VII had a battle royale?
Yes.
It lasted only a year. Did you know they had a, 20 Dragon Quest mobile games that did nothing? There's been, random anime mobile games they make, that shut down all after, a year. I think they have one or two mobile games that they continuously update, and that's it, and that do well for them. But they like the Final Fantasy Battle Royale game was the graphics of Final Fantasy VII Remake for your phone, which definitely wasn't cheap to make. Let alone they're pumping out these mobile games literally monthly. So I think that's where a big part of their money goes. They also haven't really released stuff in a while. They did the Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 2 this year. But before that was the first part, a couple of years ago. We don't get Dragon Quest very often, unless it's a spinoff game. They did Dragon Quest Treasures or whatever it was. And then what was it, Rob? Dragon Quest Monsters came out last year.
Mm-hmm.
Kingdom Hearts barely ever sees the light of day. So
why does it take so long to make those games? Is it because of Disney?
It's Disney. Yeah,
it's probably licensing hell. Honestly,
it Disney.
It did Disney.
Mickey takes his cut, whether you want him or not.
Another Square mobile game that Derek, I'm sure you'll probably play, but they have another Kingdom Hearts game that was originally supposed to come out in 2022. That I'm sure that they are still investing a ton of money in to make it look like you're playing it on a PS5 or at least a PS4, which is Kingdom Hearts Missing Link.
Right. They go above and beyond with these mobile games for no reason.
But why? It's just I don't get it.
The mobile market here is pretty crazy. The mobile market over there is insane.
Really?
If you have a crazy mobile game that takes off in the East, it's you're rich. You never have to do anything again.
I can see that. I know over there, the Switch is intensely popular.
People still play the 3DS and do they were doing the Street Pass up until literally the last day.
I would love for that. You know, just walk a Street Pass.
Yeah.
Glory be. I think recently, maybe it wasn't recently. Someone got Miyamoto Street Pass or something, and they just never used a 3DS ever again to make sure it wasn't.
And it's got it. You know what? It's crazy because that 3DS has to be worth millions now because no one else could ever get it again now.
Right. I mean, I know. Yeah. But I like it. They're cracked the code. It's just in their weird mobile games. And one last note: when is Kingdom Hearts 4?
2137.
Awesome, nice, super excited. Yeah,
woo! Friendship's my power.
All right, last but not least, we got some. We want to talk about Starfield Shattered Space. This is an article personally picked by Rob. Hold on a second. There we go. I just wanted to. Yeah, thank you. I don't want setting up vision. Recently, the server was gaining some traction. I don't know if the update came out, but did you guys see the video with they're totally updating the maps, which is my biggest concern with the game. They're adding a space rover so you can actually drive around on the desolate planets. Have you guys seen this?
I have heard nothing about this game since it came out, honestly.
Yeah, it just kind of slid under the radar for most people, but some of these features are stuff that should have literally been in there at launch.
Right.
Yeah, honestly, until Rob had posted the article, I didn't know that people were still talking about Starfield.
Usually talking about it to rag on it, but yeah, apparently they're supposed to be. They finally did details on their expansion that they were working on.
Yeah, so like
they said that they were working on, but they just never said anything about until now.
Dude, this needed to happen on release. For everyone who, if you're listening audio wise, it's not gonna be helpful. But in video, which you should totally be watching us on Spotify, YouTube, and that's the only two for video. This is exactly what they needed. The map just sucked in Starfield. I couldn't stand it. I was so confused half the time. But this detailed map with an over like a kind of bird's eye view, that would have helped things tremendously.
I don't remember. Did they have like POIs like that in Starfield? I didn't put too much time into it, to be honest.
It was like a blueprint, kind of.
So it doesn't tell you where like. Like an architectural blueprint of a city, essentially, kind of what you're...
I want to say it was like that, Rob. Am I wrong?
No, not architectural. Topographical.
Okay. But they didn't have POIs, right? Like, oh, this is a shop, and this is...
No, I don't feel like they did, and even then, it was kind of hard to read. I'd use it just to get a general idea of what direction I needed to go, but that was about it.
Right.
I would like to go back to that game.
The game is just loading menus anyway.
Rob was the only one here who beat the game, and kudos to you for that. It was just, there's so much to it, and I'm sure it was fun when I played it. It was just so confusing navigation-wise.
I did that, and I did most of the major quest lines that they did. Not a lot of the minor stuff, but most of the major quest lines, and... I'm gonna be honest, it was definitely Fallout 4 style. Like, I could feel the influences in it, and it was just, I don't know, it just, something was missing.
Wacky quest, maybe? It didn't have that,
like, Elder Scrolls or Fallout, like, flair to it.
Not even that, just, the game just didn't really feel like it felt like it was trying to do something, but it was being too clean about it, if that makes sense. Like, all form, no substance, if that makes sense.
God, I hate these kind of update videos where it's like a pseudo interview. It just pisses me off. It's so stupid. Why can't you tell me about the update? Dude, you read, like, we all know it's a script, so just tell it to my face. You don't have to pretend like there's some
just
mystery.
Read me the patch notes. Just that's all I want.
Really, like, seriously though, like, if those two were just standing at the camera and just saying, hey, this is what's happening in the May update. New maps, new this, not this, like, what can you tell me about the new updates? I'm so excited to talk to you about this, Heather.
Heather.
I know, it's just so annoying, and it's just fake. I like this, you can customize your ship now, and, add, some personal flair.
Could you not do that before?
Dude, you can add a bang couch, which is pretty cool.
The C-U-C-K chair, nice.
Dude, yes, the CUCK chair. Oh my god, I love it. Oh, dude, I'll never get over that Bluey meme. That lives in my head rent free.
Patch notes for us.
Oh yeah.
Oh good, perfect.
Hot. Read it off.
So, in order, improved surface maps. We've heard your feedback, and we made some big improvements to surface maps, so you'll always know just where to go and no longer get lost on the way to your parents' place.
And they weren't buying the excuse anyway, you really should go visit them.
New gameplay options.
Patch notes?
For those of you who like a bit of because this game's a joke in the first place, come on, keep up.
Right.
For those of you who like a bit of extra challenge or want to make some aspects of the game easier, you can customize your experience with brand new options in the settings menu. Want to make ground combat harder but ship combat easier? You can do that.
I like that.
I found both of them easy. It's a Bethesda game.
I love the space combat. I had so much fun with that.
It reminded me of a far, somehow more brain dead easier than No Man's Sky, which is already pretty easy to understand in the first place. And probably looks like dog water compared to something out of Elite Dangerous. But I suppose that's a story for another time.
added ship decoration mode to the interior of ships, so you can now decorate ships just like you can with player-owned homes. So that's what they mean when they say you can decorate your ship now. Now it acts like one big workshop for them.
So gotcha. You couldn't do that? Like, wasn't there some sort of like customization to it?
You could not do that in ships before. You can customize how the ship looks on the outside, but the interior was not something you could control.
That's insane. I don't remember that at all.
Well, you barely remember. Nobody really remembers the game in the first place because it was a stale, boring experience.
Yeah.
Like, the only thing that jumps out to me that I remember of playing that game was the pirate. It was like the Raider quest line, where you could either be one of the UGC peacekeepers or whatever, or you could be one of their Crimson Raiders or what have you. Or I forget, actually, it's been, I don't remember what they were called either. I only remember the peacekeepers because as soon as you did a crime and absolved yourself of it, somebody came over to your ship and like, ooh, you're in trouble now. The big man at Peacekeepers wants to see you.
I just remember I was over-encumbered the whole
cis
time.
No, cis-death, that's what it was. Cis-death, that's what it was. And you get pulled into like an interrogation ship. That's why I remember what cis-death was. But the only reason I remember that is because you go to a ship that's basically in an irradiated portion of the galaxy, and you have to basically do a heist and pull banking information out of a banking ship that's left adrift in there, and you have to escape it as it blows apart around you.
Huh. Right.
That was actually really cool. I enjoyed that storyline, at least.
It is nice the carry capacity is greatly increased if you wanted to.
Well, I have a funny way to get around that. That's called console commands and mods. Which, speaking of mods, I'd really like them to release a creation kit for this sometime soon so we can really see what modders are actually capable of. But that's, anyway, there's still more patch notes. Sorry for going off on a tangent.
When did this game come out? Sorry to
last year?
Patch notes. What, last like year, I think? November, was it?
Yeah, I think it was around like, because I remember starting my job around August, and I think like a few months into that, Starfield came out.
September.
Makes September sense. It came out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
September 6th. So it's been close to, 10 months it's been?
Eight, 9 months, probably.
Yeah.
Added tabs to container menus to make managing your inventory easier. Okay, I actually use an external mod for that, so just like there was Sky UI, there's Starfield UI. I'm not worried about that one. I'm not tripping about that. I already had that unlocked. Added the ability to change traits and appearance after entering the Unity, so that little thing that had you pick what you were, like a settler, or you had family on New Atlantis or whatever. If you do the Unity, which, I mean, sorry, it's almost a year old at this point, but spoilers if you haven't reached the end of it. Spoilers begin here, by the way. Entering the Unity is basically you finishing out the main quest line, and you get sent, kicked into another universe. You become Starborn. It's this whole wild and wacky thing, and then you basically start the game over then, and that's their version of New Game Plus. Spoilers are over, by the way. Added dialogue camera toggle in the settings, whatever that means, and added display settings for Xbox Series X to prioritize visuals or performance. Which is really good for Xbox Series X, because now you can target 30, 40, 60, or an uncapped frame rate on certain displays.
Well, that's good.
So you can now also prioritize between visuals and performance while trying to maintain the frame rate target. So you can kind of fine-tune that to fit your TV. And of course, general stability and performance improvements. Yada, yada, yada. I'm not about to sit here and read off this massive patch note here, but
of all the nonsense. Yeah, just hit the big bullet points, I guess.
I hit the bullet points, and they just had a bunch of bug fixes and improvements.
So, I mean, so it sounds like it basically got its next-gen upgrade, right? Or is that just PC that got, like, the upgraded visuals?
As of the first of this, so about a week ago, the update was currently in Steam beta before going live for all players.
Okay, so that's Steam.
So did it come out on Xbox as well, or?
I would imagine so.
That's what I would assume as well. But I mean, 10 months and we finally get this like big update for it, which granted, I understand it's hard for Bethesda with their games, because like,
especially in the middle of departments that are like under them getting slashed left and right.
Right. They're like literally getting attacked while they're working on this.
It was a hostile takeover.
Yeah. And then like, I get their games are like gigantic and it takes a while to like do these updates. But like, these are like things that should have been added like definitely quicker or like sooner to release. I feel like I don't know, like we were saying before, like the player base is definitely down for this game, right? Like let me pull up what is it? Starfield Steam player count. Let's see. What are you at, Starfield? Starfield's at like 6,000 players ish in the last 24 hours. And its all-time peak was 300,000, and that's just for Steam, not including Xbox. So like, there was, I don't know, it's a missed opportunity, I feel like, for them to have released this so late in the game. Again, I understand these games are giant and it takes them forever to update them to begin with, but I do feel that's no excuse.
So real quick, it looks like this patch and these updates and stuff aren't even out until May 15th.
Right. This is just the
This is only Steam, Derek. We were talking about
what?
It's only Steam right now. This is in the Steam beta testing.
Oh, well, so yeah, but it releases on the 15th, right?
For Steam, we don't know about Xbox.
Does it say
at the end of that trailer, like what it's releasing for?
And he says available.
That's just role. The game.
I'm on the Bethesda website on Starfield's page. The article was posted May 1st, and it says it's coming May 15th.
I have to assume.
Well, I'm going to assume both. So then, right?
No, I think it's for everything. It's just currently in the Steam beta program.
Right.
I also want to mention, I think we'll see a lot more player base whenever they bring Creation Club to the game. I think
that too. That's like a big thing with Bethesda games.
So I'd prefer mod support over Creation Club, but I'm sorry, that's right. Monetize that stuff,
right?
But
so sorry. nothing like a good old stomach attack in the middle of a podcast. I'll tell you what.
Well, if you guys are wanting to scratch the itch, I know.
What itch?
No Man's Sky has a large update in store.
They always have every month. I see like, you know, the new space update, the I made love to your mom update. The like,
I don't know how they do it. They are like on top of that game literally daily, and just like, what can we do now? Like, let's change the color red. Oh my god, yes.
What if we added a dating simulator by space? Oh, gee,
yes, genius.
Oh, it's a large patch, but it's bug fixes. Primarily.
Yeah. Okay. Well, either way, you know, like this is long overdue.
You could go play the better game instead of Starfield.
Right. Oblivion.
Yeah.
Oblivion. Jumping those other games. Elder Scrolls Oblivion. That's really it for the episode, right, guys? We nothing at the old dusty trail.
Yeah, I think we covered it.
Perfect. Got it all.
Nice. Well, everybody, thank you for watching. I always appreciate the support. Special shout out to 2x4 who donated in the middle of the live stream to ask a question about fornicating with Pokemon. But $5 and $5 in these trying times.
More on that later. Keep an eye out.
Guys, remember to like, comment, subscribe. Become a member today. It's only $2.99. It really helps us out, believe it or not. Join our Discord. We're lively people on there. We also have a Twitter that we never really talk about for some reason. Rate us 5 stars wherever you listen to us. If you can, Spotify, Apple. I guess if it's less than 5 stars, you can still rate us. We prefer 5 stars. Other than that, we're going to hit the old dusty trail, so we'll see you guys next time.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.